Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Andy Martinez. I'm sitting here with co-host Andrew McCulloch for Hawk Sports Radio. Andrew, how's it going?
It's pretty good. It's a pretty miserable day outside, though. Cold and rainy. I think fall has kind of reared its ugly head at us today.
And it's not like the like I can deal with downpour. Like downpour, that's no problem to me. Like at least I know what I'm getting. With this mist, you never like you walk outside and it's like, do I wear the hoodie? And you wear the hoodie and it's like, there's really no need to wear the hoodie. And then you don't wear the hoodie for like 5 minutes and you're soaked. It's just a weird rain.
Yeah, it is. It's just the things that you get with fall weather. And, you know, kind of transitioning into Hawk Sports here, what we got with the QU football team was kind of the same as getting a mist, just kind of a downpour. It was more of a downpour. Ohio Dominican just kind of coming in and just obliterating the Hawks, just for lack of a better term. Final score is 73-28. Andy, what are your first thoughts?
My first thoughts is if I play QU, this is in the back of my mind, and I'm not thinking about this for the rest of the season. My focus is on next week, and I put it behind me. I don't play for QU, so that's not what my intention. My intention is kind of try and talk with you and dissect, you know, what kind of went wrong. Seemingly almost everything defensively went wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, well, you said it. Obviously, when you face a juggernaut like this and something, a loss as bad as this happens, all you can do as a player is put it in the rearview mirror. Of course, for coaches, they've got to look at the tape. You know, they've got to relive this nightmare over again and see what they, you know, what happened. Obviously, QU just dominated in every facet, pretty much from the defensive level. They couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop the pass. Ohio Dominican almost with 600 total yards, 218 on the ground and 364 through the air. And we talked about it in the preview that this balanced attack is something that QU needed to kind of shape itself after.
Yep.
And this is why, because their phenomenal running back, obviously Daryl Johnson, just 14 carries, 107 yards. He had 5 touchdowns on the ground. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Grant Russell as well. He's a solid quarterback. Threw for 2 touchdowns, only 5 incompletions, 19 of 24, no turnovers, 293 yards. This team just came to play. And they come from a very tough conference, obviously. They've got, you know, members of their conference, you know, nationally ranked. We talked about how they came off of a loss against Ferris State, who is now the number 3 team in the nation. And I thought, you know, they'd be coming hungry and ready to play QU. And sure enough, obviously they were.
I think we saw why they were the preseason number 4 team in the nation. Mm-hmm. Their offense was just spectacular to watch. Everything was clicking today. With the first, there were a lot of games at the beginning of the season where QU gave up a lot of yards defensively. Against Lincoln, they gave up, over 500. Mm-hmm. Held on to win. I think you always wondered, well, QU got the necessary stops when they were, you know, even though they gave up 580 yards, they were getting the necessary stops in those wins. Now you look at this game, and it was Ohio Dominican took advantage of every single opportunity they had. They got the yardage, and they scored on it. They showed no mercy. They weren't stopped like any other, like Lincoln was or any other team was. QU gave up a lot of yards and got lit up in the scoreboard. And I think that was a more worrying thing because you saw in other games, you saw the opposite. You know, you would see a lot of yards given up, but you got the win because you got the defensive steps that was necessary. Or you got you had the reverse where, you know, the teams were scoring on you, but you were limiting the yardage. So it was kind of just everything fell apart for the defense on Saturday. First 9 possessions of the game for Ohio Dominican resulted in a touchdown. I don't care who you are, you're not going to win any game if you do that.
No. This game was seemingly over before QU could even blink on the field. You know, it's games like these where things just pile on so quickly, and then you look at the scoreboard and you're down 28-7 at the beginning of the second quarter, and you're just like, what happened? What went wrong? I mean, everything went wrong, obviously, for the defense, but it's one of these things that Ohio Dominican just piled on the points so quickly that you know, just kind of put the defense in a bit of a shock. I mean, this team, they had every facet of their game going, as I mentioned. Daryl Johnson on the ground, Grant Russell through the air. You know, the receivers were making plays. It wasn't obviously until almost the end of the first quarter when Dante Flowers had a good play of his own, 44-yard touchdown run.
On fourth down, by the way.
On a fourth down, that QU was able to get on the board, make it 21-7, and maybe give fans a little bit of what would potentially be false hope as, you know, Ohio Dominican, who we had talked about struggles in the second quarter normally, beat QU in the second quarter after beating them in the first quarter, 21-14. So, you know, they had that 42-21 lead at halftime. And you have to imagine, you know, at halftime, obviously, Padgett and company were, you know, and coaching staff was trying to get this team more focused on the second half, saying, hey, let's, you know, let's come back. But when you're a player and you're down 42-21, things are probably pretty bleak, and you're just kind of like, well, let's just get this over with.
Yeah, we talked about Ohio Dominican likes to play fast. Yeah, we talked about in the preview. First three possessions, Ohio Dominican jumped up to a 21-0 lead. First three possessions. First possession, time of possession was 2 minutes, 21 seconds, traveled 41 yards in 7 plays. Second possession, 7 plays, 79 yards, 2 minutes and 16 seconds. And then the third drive, 4 plays, 36 yards, 1 minute and 9 seconds. They had a game plan. They came in and they executed it to a T. I would be shocked if they have a more perfect game than they did against QU throughout the rest of the season. I don't care who they're playing, because they were clicking on all cylinders offensively.
Yeah, and when you're Ohio Dominican, it's games like this that you dream for. And it's games like this for QU that you can't believe happened to you. But it was a nightmare. And you know what? These games, you know, you don't want them to happen, but they're going to happen sometimes when you just go up against a team that is better than you in almost every facet of the game. And they just have their way. I mean, they, as you said, they executed everything perfectly. And they even overachieved on time of possession for these plays. Their average, obviously, for going down the field and scoring a touchdown was probably about 3 to 4 minutes was their average. They are obviously surely capable of scoring, you know, between 1 and 3 minutes. But, you know, usually their average drive was about 3 to 4 minutes long. And, I mean, just like we said, they just dominated on offense. QU had no answer on the defensive side of the football. They couldn't create any turnovers. You know, we talked about field position. Well, field position didn't even matter here, because yeah, the defense, like you said, wasn't able to get a crucial stop like they have been in the past. And the yardages were just, they kept piling on and on and on for Ohio Dominican. And, like, this game was over at halftime. You know, it was 28-7 in the second quarter. At halftime, ODU up 42-21, as I mentioned. And, you know, obviously the game 73-28, but I don't really put much stock into the second half, because this game, for me, I think the players may have realized, I'm not saying they gave up, but I'm saying they probably realized that they didn't have a chance.
Yeah, and you think about it, at that point, you know, you got your backups in, and you know, it's the guys that haven't maybe played much who are getting the majority of the snaps. I talked about Ohio Dominican's first three possessions. Conversely, if you look at QU's first three possessions, and this is where the game was clearly, this is when the game was decided. By the 8 minute mark of the first quarter, you knew Ohio Dominican was going to win this, provided something drastic or something miraculous happens. QU's first possession of the game ends in an interception. The drive lasted 1 minute 24 seconds. Second possession of the game, QU, that first possession of the game, by the way, they had 3 plays for 2 yards. Second possession of the game, 5 plays for 12 yards, results in a punt, 2 minutes and 29 seconds off the clock. Third possession, 3 plays for -3 yards. Total of, 11 yards through 11 plays. You're averaging a yard a play. That's just not any recipe for success ever in any football game ever. You're just not going to win if you're doing that. And the offense had a lethargic start. Ohio Dominican's offense came off the bus and came off the long road trip ready with guns blazing, and they, you know, just put the hammer. They hit the nail on the head with their offense and their offensive execution, and completely just, you know, beat QU in every facet in that first quarter.
Yeah, you're right. Would you would you say that it was more so QU's offense looked lethargic, or do you think Ohio Dominican's defense came out and gave us a little surprise? Because, I mean, we've talked about their offense, obviously, and I think credit has to be given to their defense as well, forcing four turnovers in the game. And obviously, Lonergan was completely uncomfortable throughout this game, completing just 9 of 23 passes, 3 interceptions. He did have 2 touchdowns, 110 yards overall through the air. And, I mean, the passing game was just nowhere to be found. Eric Poindexter was held in check, 2 receptions for 23 yards. Probably, you know, productivity-wise, his worst game of the season for the Hawks. It was actually Brendan Sock who led, you know, receiving for the Hawks with 2 receptions, 47 yards, and a touchdown. So, I mean, I just look at the stats for the Hawks on offense. And for me, the only thing that they had going was, you know, the rushing game. Dante Flowers, 7 carries, 104 yards. Chris Harris, 10 carries for 68 yards. You know, average carry, pretty good there. Flowers, almost 15 yards a carry. And then Chris Harris, just above 6. Both of those guys had a touchdown on the ground. So, obviously, you look at the running game for QU, it was really working there. But, you know, when you fall behind so fast like that, obviously you have to go through the air in order to try and come back as fast as you can. And that just wasn't working for the Hawks. And I really think... that's a testament to Ohio Dominican, not just as an offense, but as a defense as well. Their secondary able to force turnovers, able to get a little bit of pressure on Lonergan. They had 3 sacks overall. So I just kind of wanted to make a point of that as well.
Yeah, I think if you're behind 21-0 and you're relying on the running game, you're not going to win unless you're getting, you know, 70-yard runs every single time, because the running game isn't instituted to get you big plays all the time. You know, you'll have your occasional 44-yard runs, but you're going to have a lot of no-yard runs, 2-yard runs, 3-yard runs. And if you're relying on that kind of offense to try and get you back in this game, you know, it's just not going to happen. And yeah, the offense, the running game was there, but, you know, that really didn't open up the play-action pass, as you can see, because, you know, only 110 yards passing. And QU just we've talked about it many times. Nick Lonergan's a great game manager, but he's not going to go out there and throw 50 times a game and get you 500 yards passing, and you're not going to win like that. That's just not who he is, and that's just not how the QU offense operates. And so when you're relying on him to throw, to try and get big plays after big plays after big plays, you know, you might get 1, you might get 2 maybe, and if you're lucky, you might get 3, but you're not going to get 10 or whatever that you need to get back in this game. When you give up 73 points, you're going to need big play after big play after big play to even be close to have a chance to win. And just the passing game just was not there at all for QU, which is unfortunate to see when you have a good rushing output like you did on Saturday.
Yeah, and obviously the Hawks' lethargic opening on offense really just played to Ohio Dominican's advantage, because when they get points on the board like that, their defense can just rely on quarterbacks like Lonergan, who aren't guys that are going to go out there and get you 400 yards, you know, and throw for 4 touchdowns and be able to just throw all over your defense. That's their advantage. They're going to jump down your throat. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to get out in front, and they're going to take advantage of the fact that the Hawks' offense wasn't clicking, and they were able to get out to that advantage quickly. Their defense was able to just sit back, you know, anticipate the throw, and obviously it paid off for them. They had 3 interceptions off Lonergan, 1 off of Robbie Kelly, who obviously was in for, you know, garbage time as the game was surely over. And another key offensive stat for Ohio Dominican that we talked about was their ability to score in the red zone. They, coming into this game, they were 28 for 30, 5th in the nation, and against QU, they went 8 for 8 in the red zone scoring. So, you know, obviously, just like that, they had everything clicking. It's a bad loss, obviously, for the Hawks. It's probably embarrassing to lose like this on your home turf, but at the end of the day, like you said, you have to put it behind you. These things are going to happen when you're playing a team that is just, they're just better than you. Yeah. You know, you just have to look back and say, all right, this team is better than us. You know, they play in a much more difficult conference. There's a reason they were number 4 ranked in the preseason.
Yep.
You just got to bounce back and look forward to this next week.
I think if you want to take one positive, or if you want to look at it in a different matter, you say, you're Coach Padgett, or you're the coaching staff, you look at these guys and you tell your players, hey, yeah, we got blown out, but if we want to get to where we want to be, this is the kind of caliber team that we have to beat, and we have to be, period. If you want to be where Coach Padgett imagines a team can be, then you got to play these games. And is it gonna stink losing 73-28? Yeah, but you know, if you don't play these games and you go out and you play Haskell Indians Nations and you beat them 56-0 year in and year out, what does that really do for you outside of, you know, have a nice homecoming where you get a big win? It really does absolutely nothing for the program.
It's going to teach the players nothing about competitiveness. You know what? So what? You can go in and beat up on a poor team like, you know, Haskell. You know, that's going to teach them absolutely nothing. That's not going to elevate them as a program. It's not going to elevate your players. I think losing games like this, yes, while, you know, maybe it can hurt a player's ego that they lost as bad, it's going to help them in the long run. It's going to help these young guys say, okay, so we want to be where they're at. How do we get there? And let's make sure we can get there in our future. Like for these younger guys, you know, they're Kobe Bissells, they're running backs that you've got, you know, your young guys on offense that are just new and upcomers. This team's got a lot of young talent. You know, you got Chris Harris, so he's still young. And, you know, this offense will be okay down the road. You know, you're going to go through your growing pains, and this is just one of them.
Yeah. Speaking about a team that seemingly is clicking on all cylinders, seemingly out of nowhere after what had happened the previous weeks, is the men's soccer team. They had lost 3 or 4 heading into this past weekend. They go out and they get 2 big wins. I think put themselves in better position to not only host in a first-round GOVC game, but get in the NCAA tournament, which, you know, looking after last weekend was kind of, you know, you'd be crazy to think that they would be a lock to be in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you and I both thought that they might be in some trouble. Not just with that, not what just happened off the field, but just the way they were playing. You know, they weren't winning games. And I think, you know, you and I both predicted that they'd play well this weekend. I thought we both thought that they put it, you know, put what happened in the past behind them and come out and get the wins, because at the end of the day, they controlled their own destiny. We looked at the rankings for the NCAA tournament. They were locked in at number 6. Which is the last spot. So we said, you know what, this team, they just need to go out there. They need to go 3-0. They need to take care of business against McKendree and Illinois Springfield, which they did. And for me, it was a surprise that they beat McKendree 4-1, because, as I said, you know, conditions were wet. It was a little chilly. I expected, you know, a 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 affair. But the Hawks, they came out right away, and they were able to put goals on the board, you know, going up 2-0 into the second half. And, you know, it was just a good showing. Obviously, Artan Amini had a heck of a game, scoring 2 goals. And Taylor Reese added one of his own.
Yeah, Artan Amini, who was just named earlier today, about an hour or so ago, was named National Player of the Week for his contributions this week. He had 2 goals against McKendree, and I think he added a goal and an assist against Illinois Springfield. Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the offensive firepower missing, just relying on Taylor Reese and Javon Dukai, who's no longer with the team. Well, Artan Amini comes in and steps up with, you know, a 3-goal weekend. That's, you know, you couldn't ask for better timing for someone to step up and have a huge weekend like Artan. And with, you know, the season winding down and the regular season winding down with only the regular season game against Truman State tomorrow to play for, QU needed a big weekend. I thought they only needed at least 1 win and then a win against Truman State. I thought they only needed 2 wins out of the last 3. But if you go in and you beat Truman tomorrow and you get 3 wins, I think you're almost a lock for the NCAA tournament. But you're in a much better position than you were even a week ago.
Yeah. I think they needed to go out there and win all 3 games. I mean, maybe they could get away with going, you know, 2-0-1.
Yeah.
But you know, I just think just get the job done. Just go out there, win 3 games. You go 3-0. You know, you've got your destiny in your own hands. So if you go out there and go 3-0, you beat Truman State tomorrow, I think you're a lock. I mean, put a good showing up in the GLVC tourney. Obviously, they're probably, if they win tomorrow, they're going to host a game.
Yep.
So go out there, you know, win in front of your home fans. You know, maybe you don't win the GLVC conference title, but oh well. I mean, you impressed the NCAA committee with, you know, your 3-game winning streak. I'm saying this, you know, hypothetically, if they win tomorrow. So I think it's a huge 2-0, and I saw this coming because I know this team has talent, and I knew that they had the ability to put this behind them, what happened off the field. And now you just look, you know, they're 3rd in the conference, right behind Indy and Rockhurst, who are clicking as well on all cylinders. is that one game back of Indy for that second spot?
Yeah, and you know, I think one game back of Indy for the second spot in the GOVC. Rockers has locked up the regular season title for the GOVC, so they'll host the GOVC tournament. But one thing that for QU, they're sitting behind Indy in the GOVC standings, regular season standings, but they're ahead of them in the NCAA regional rankings, and I think anyone on the men's soccer team will take that over, you know, second place in GOVC any day of the week.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Not really sure, you know, what the NCAA committee is thinking with that, but I mean, hey, you're not going to complain.
No.
So, you know, is a really good weekend for QU, and like you've said, with Artie showing up, you know, and putting his productivity in with the offense, you know, just looking his stats against McKendree, he had those two goals. He had six shots. He made his presence known immediately, led the team in shots on goal for the Hawks. It was a really good performance, obviously. You know, he's a player that has that ability to make his presence known on offense. And down the road, you know, if this team is going to be really competitive, if they end up going to the NCAA tournament, you know, if they're going to go far, they're going to need someone like him to step up and be that, you know, second wheel, obviously, behind Taylor Reese.
Yeah.
You know, on the offensive side.
Yeah. And offensively, QU, you know, they've had their moments where they've just struggled throughout the year. And they've kind of, even in the losses against Drury and some of the other teams, they were scoring goals. They're starting to find a rhythm offensively. Now it's kind of the defense has to shore things up. And I think they did that these last two games. Obviously, they conceded a goal in each game, but you know, if you're gonna still shore up the defense and limit the other team in terms of scoring opportunities, you give yourself a chance to win every single game. They only allowed 16 shots over the whole weekend, eight in each game, six shots on goal this past weekend total. It was a gritty performance defensively, which is what the team needed to kind of sort of right the ship. And now, you know, as long as you win Truman State, ideally win the first round of the GOVC, I think you're in regardless of what happens, unless you lose like 10-0 or something, which I don't see happening.
No, and Truman State's been a team that in the middle of the season went on a tear, but right now they're struggling.
Yeah.
You know, things are not going their way. They have recently picked up a couple victories. They're at 500 at 7-7 in the conference.
But before that, I think they had lost five in a row.
Yeah.
That could be right.
Four or five in a row, yeah. I mean, so honestly, yeah, it's a road.
It's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of team.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't, you know, you never know what to expect with Truman State. They could go out there and win against QU, like, you know, 2-0, 2-1, or, you know, QU could just go in there, get the job done, and blank them 3-0. You never know. I mean, but something promising for QU. Yeah, they gave up a goal in each of these games, but, you know, the goal they gave up against Illinois Springfield on a penalty kick, you know, whatever, you know, just, you can live with it, you know, just be careful, you know, don't be fouling inside the, you know, the 18-yard box, whatever. But, you know, they pretty much dominated this game.
Yeah.
Illinois Springfield didn't have many chances in this game. You know, their defense was tight and it was sure. You know, Illinois Springfield didn't really get anything going on offense. I mean, yeah, they had that goal on a penalty kick from a guy's, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, first name Alejandro, but so, you know, it's good to see that, you know, this defense is, you know, starting to maybe tighten the screws a little bit, and the offense, obviously, you know, the four goals against McKendree, and then, you know, putting two on the board against Illinois Springfield with Taylor Reese and Artan scoring again, you know, it's promising to see, and hopefully they can keep it up for tomorrow's game against Truman State. I think they will. I'm going to say they beat Truman State tomorrow 2-1.
I'm going to go 3-1, but I think they win as well and basically assure themselves of I would say 90% sealed a spot in the NCAA tournament after that. One team, I think they're in, regardless of what happens. Obviously, barring something completely drastic, you know, 10-0 losses, like we said, is the QU women's soccer team. They're in. And they'll get a top three spot, provided they can, you know, win a couple more games here. They go out and they beat McKendree on Friday, 1-0. A very gritty performance, I guess is would be the right word. And then beating Illinois Springfield on Sunday, 3-0 on senior night, or senior day, I guess. It wasn't really nighttime. They move themselves up and get into position to really, you know, seal. An NCAA tournament spot is never sealed up. But if you would want to place money, I think their spot is all but sealed up, wrapped and finished.
No, they showed us, huh?
Yeah, I guess
they've come out and they've shut up Andy and I. Five straight W's, just, you know, fantastic play as of late. Now, this game on Friday was something more of the along the lines of what I thought was going to happen. You know,
yeah.
Just a tough, gritty game. You have to go out there and beat, you know, a McKendree team that played well in the GLVC conference. They had a winning record, obviously 6-5-2 after the loss against QU. You know what I like seeing? It's Mackenzie Reef there with a goal, the assist from Bailey Grubel. Just, you know, it's a good win. You know, this, it was kind of a back and forth contest from when I was there, filming for my JOB, but you know, there weren't really a lot of chances in the first half, that I saw particularly. And obviously, you know, it's good to see QU get that goal pretty much almost at the last minute there in the 87th minute. You know, you always want to win these games instead of, you know, ending in a tie.
Yeah, and really, you put yourself in position. Now you play Truman State like the men do. You play Truman State tomorrow, and Truman State sits a game above QU in the conference standings for that second spot. QU wins, and they play themselves into second place.
Right.
And the difference between second and third place, you know, it's not really – if you look at the big picture, it's not really much. I mean, you get to host a home game regardless. But the teams you match up against are completely different. Right now, if the season ended right now and QU was in that third spot, they would play Rockers, a team that played – Quincy really, really well and really, really tough. And if you play that seventh team, you play Lewis, a team you beat at home, and you'd get them again at home. I think you would rather play Lewis than Rockers. But at the same time, QU, I think their main focus isn't really who they're going to play in the first round of the GOC. It's more go out and beat Truman State tomorrow and lock up that second spot in the GOC.
Well, hypothetically speaking, down the road, not only if you beat Truman State and get you that two seed, if you end up winning that quarterfinal matchup, doesn't that give you a home game for the semifinal as well?
Yeah, semifinal and final are hosted by the number one seed or the highest seed remaining.
Are they? So, yeah. Okay, all right.
So if Bellarmine wins, if Bellarmine wins, then Bellarmine hosts the whole semifinal final.
Okay, but yeah, I wasn't sure how that worked with the, you know, GLVC and all that stuff.
But if Bellarmine lost first game and Quincy won, Quincy would get to host. So it's the next highest seed would get to host the rest of the tournament. And really, the difference between second and third is huge in that sense, because you know, if you win or if you lose on tomorrow and then you win and Bellarmine loses, well, you could have hosted the GLVC had you beaten Truman State.
Yeah.
Which becomes a big thing, because now you have to travel to Truman State, who has no lights, who plays on a grass field, which is not in the best condition. And it just throws a whole wrench into everything that you're playing. So really, you want to make sure and you come out and you get a win tomorrow against Truman State.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking back at this weekend, what are you most impressed with the women's soccer team?
I think it's the emergence of Mackenzie Reef, who was named GOC Offensive Player of the Week.
I agree.
This was a player who, you know, a lot was expected of her coming in to college. And you know, it's not that she hasn't lived up to it, but maybe the productivity wasn't as what they expected. And this weekend, she comes out with two goals and two assists on the weekend. That's a really big weekend. And if you would have rather had her heat up in the beginning of the season, cool down towards the end, or have her cool at the beginning of the season and heat up towards the end, you would take the latter every single day of the week.
Every time.
Because now you have Ashley Burton clicking on all cylinders, on fire.
Pretty much almost a guarantee she's going to score a goal, you know.
In one
of the two games.
At least. Then you got Abby Pulliam, who's scored her first share of goals, 9 goals on the season. And now you're talking about you throw in a third weapon with Mackenzie Reef scoring. That's a potent attack combined with the really, really strong defense.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, their defense is no joke. Megan Swanson strong there in front of the net as well. You know, shut out against both, you know, McKendree and Illinois Springfield. So this team for me right now is clicking on all cylinders. And like I've said, you could not have started at the right moment for me. Five games winning streak here. You've got your final game of the regular season tomorrow against Truman State. You know, I think it's a huge game, you know, just for all the reasons we've talked about. You know, I think it's big to go in there and get a W on the road against the number, you know, two GLVC ranked team right now in the conference. And, you know, I think the Lady Hawks got to be the favorite going into this game.
Just
the way they've been playing. You know, I look at this game and I'm thinking, you know, a 2-1 kind of game, maybe even an overtime win.
It's going to be a very, very close game. It's going to be a very gritty game, but I think QU prevails too. And really, it's very cliched. A lot of coaches like to say it at this point, but at this point, every game is a playoff game, and it really is because
So that's something that Coach Musso really kind of highlighted for me when I interviewed him last week. He was like, you know, at this stage of the season, we want to take every game one game at a time. We want to go out there and win every game that we can.
Yeah, because you know, if you beat Truman State, you get that 2 spot, so you have something you're playing for this week or this game tomorrow. Then at that point, it's the GOVC where it's, you know, win in advance, survive in advance. And then after that's the NCAA tournament. So at this point, every single game is a one game off, you know, playoff game. And that's the way that the Lady Hawks are going to look at it. That's the way they have been looking at it. And if that's how they've been playing the last few games, then, you know, this game should have no pressure. And I'd be shocked to see KU struggle in this game.
All right. So we got a mixed results here for our weekend. Obviously, the men's football team has a game they'd like to forget, but the soccer teams come out. Both of them go 2-0, and things are looking up for them as their regular season almost comes to an end tomorrow against Truman State. We'll be back later this week, most likely on Friday, to talk about how, you know, the game went against Truman State and preview the GLVC Conference Tournament. And we'll also preview the football game. It's going to be a nationally televised game this week.
Against Truman State.
Against Truman State. So, you know, a lot of Truman State KU action coming up. So, you know, we'll see you then. This has been Hawk Sports Radio. Andy Martinez, thanks always for your insight. I'm Andrew McCulloch, and we will see you later this week for our preview.